You'll find my text for today in the first three of this ninth chapter of Isaiah. Thou hast multiplied the nations and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. I want in particular to direct your attention to those words in the middle of the verse. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest. Our text for this morning speaks of the joy of the harvest, and that is my subject for today. The harvest does bring joy. Of course, we would need to be farmers or members of families who work the fields to realize perhaps just how much joy a successful harvest home brings to the heart. We townies perhaps do not realize and do not appreciate the harvest as we should. But if we would lift our eyes and look around the world where the harvests have failed and see the hunger and the sufferings of people elsewhere in this world, we would perhaps begin to appreciate the blessing of the harvest home. Certainly, the harvest, when it's safely gathered in, brings joy to the heart of the farmer and those who labor in the harvest fields, because they see the success of their labors and they realize that all that hard work and labor of plowing and sowing and so on is not in vain. And so there is joy in the harvest, and we ought to participate in that joy and give thanks to God for the harvest home. However, this morning, I'm thinking not in particular of the natural and the physical harvest, but I'm thinking of another harvest to which all the natural and physical harvests point. And I'm speaking, of course, of the harvest of the earth, that last great harvest, which we read of in the book of Revelation, when he who sits upon the clouds with a golden crown upon his head, the Lord of heaven and earth, puts in his sickle and reaps, when he sends forth his angels and gathers his sheaves into his barns. I'm thinking, of course, of the great harvest of the gospel, when the gospel brings forth that full harvest at the end of time, and all for whom Christ died are gathered into the barns of God. We're thinking of that golden daybreak when Jesus will come and gather his loved ones home. Then shall our text be fulfilled in a very wonderful way. They, that is, the saints of God, the people of God, the redeemed of the Lord, those who are saved by his grace and born of his Spirit and washed in his precious blood, shall joy before him according to the joy of the harvest. That will be a joyful time when Jesus comes to receive from the world his own. There are many things that will make this time a joyful time. Of course, it'll be joyful because then the Lord Jesus shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And he shall see all those for whom he died gathered in to the kingdom. And not one of them shall be lost. Even the weakest, most feeble saint will be there on the dawn of that great day. And our blessed Savior will be glorified in the vast multitudes of souls that will be gathered unto him on that occasion. And we will sing his praises. We will rejoice in him who loved us and who gave himself for us, who died that we might live, who shed his precious blood that we might be redeemed and reconciled to God. My, we will sing in chorus as we praise his holy name and magnify the Lord and the God of our salvation. What a day of rejoicing that will be. For our Lord then will be glorified. In this present age, while the Lord is glorified, of course, in heaven by the Father's right hand, yet amongst the sons of men and in this world below, he is not glorified by men. He is ill spoken of. He is evil spoken of. His name is blasphemed. For on that great day, our blessed Redeemer, our loving Savior, shall be seen by all men. And his glory shall be revealed when he shall be manifest to all men. And that will be a time of rejoicing, because primarily our Savior will be glorified. And in that every saint rejoices. Surely that will bring joy to the hearts of the saints, that our Savior, who is so ill spoken of in this world, and we have often and are often grieved when we hear of men speaking ill of our blessed Savior and blaspheming his name, taking his name upon their lips in oaths and curses and swearing. Surely this grieves our hearts when we see what's going on in the world and how God's laws are trampled underfoot. When we see how the glory of God is stained, as it were, by the wickedness of men, we will rejoice when at last our blessed Savior is revealed in all his glory and in all his splendor. It will be a time of rejoicing. And that day is coming. It's coming soon. It's nearer this morning than it has ever been. And it is drawing very, very near. We can hear his footfall at the door. And that will be an occasion of great rejoicing for the church of Jesus Christ. But you know, it will be a time of rejoicing for us as saints, because it will be a time of sweet release to us, when we will be released from our mortality and from all the woes and sorrows connected with our mortality. You know, the Christian is not immune to the common woes of humanity. Sadly, in this world, we suffer troubles and trials and afflictions. Indeed, we have been hearing this morning, as the Reverend Elliot has been speaking to us, concerning the death that has affected the congregation, and concerning the brother who is very ill and in need of our prayers. And of course, this is repeated throughout the Church of Jesus Christ. The Christian is not exempt from sickness, from sorrow, and from suffering in this present evil world. Indeed, some have been called to suffer long periods of sickness. I remember when I first went to Banbridge 24 years ago, I was brought by the clerk of session to visit a dear lady who was ill then. And I left that church, and that lady still living, but still living with her affliction and her pain and her continual suffering, sometimes having a little relief for a while, but then again and again being readmitted to hospital for treatment, so that we Christians are not exempt in this world from the common afflictions of mankind. Indeed, if anything, perhaps we as Christians have to undergo more by way of affliction, because the world is not so much troubled by the devil, whereas we are afflicted by him as we seek to serve the Lord our God. But bless God, whenever that day dawns, that great harvest comes around, the child of God will be released from their mortality and from all the woes and sorrows connected with it. There will be no more sickness, no more sorrowing, no more dying. And that will be a cause of rejoicing for the child of God. But there is another sweet release, which in my mind and to my mind, and I'm sure to every right-thinking Christian, is vastly superior to this release of which I've been speaking from our mortality and its sorrows and woes. And that is that great release of which the Apostle Paul speaks in Romans chapter 7, the release from this body of sin. We as Christians, alas, have to struggle with this old body of sin with which we have been born. Now we've been born again. We received at our new birth a new nature, a new heart. We've been made new creatures in Christ. But we have not lost the old nature. Sadly, we have to labor on with the old nature afflicting us, tied to us like a dead corpse tied to a human living body. And it is a source of great grief to us. The Apostle Paul, the mighty Apostle Paul, that great preacher and teacher of the Word, even he, that great saint of the Lord, complained and said, "That which I would I do not, and that which I would not that I do." He says, "I find the law in my members, which is the law of sin." And he speaks of this tremendous conflict that he had, and all Christians have, with the old flesh and this old sinful nature. And it grieves us, and it gets us down at times. And perhaps you're here this morning, and you're a believer in Christ, but oh, the old nature has got the upper hand of you lately, and you have sinned against God, and you have grieved the Holy Spirit, and you've grieved your own heart by your fall into sin. And you mourn over this corruption with which you have to struggle and fight against daily. Well, bless God on that great morning when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of our Saviors, of our Savior we share. We will be released from this terrible conflict, from this body of sin. We will say farewell to the old man forevermore. And that will be an occasion of great rejoicing. And so it will be a time of rejoicing because the release that shall be ours on that occasion. But it will be a time of rejoicing because of the reunion we will know on that blessed occasion. We read in the word of God, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Oh, what a meeting there will be in the sky. And what an occasion that will be. There will be no tears of sorrow to dim the eye. Loved ones united eternally. Heaven will open, and Jesus we shall see, says the hymn writer. And what a blessed time that will be. We all here, I am sure, well, at least the majority of us, have stood by the grave side of loved ones and we have said farewell to them for the last time on this earth. And we live daily with that sense of loss, that emptiness that their departure has left within us. And we often think of them. They've gone on before, and they've left us here behind. And we mourn their passing. It is true we do not mourn as those who have no hope, but nevertheless we mourn the loss of our loved ones who have gone on before. But bless God, there is coming a day when we will be reunited with our loved ones who have gone on to be with Jesus. There will be a great reunion on that day. And it will be a day of great rejoicing as we are reunited with our loved ones that have gone on before. And of course, it will be a day of joy and rejoicing because of the revelation we shall receive. The greatest revelation of that day will be the revelation of the glorified Savior himself. The Bible says we shall see him as he is. What a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. You know, I feel that this statement means that we shall have a more perfect comprehension of his glorious nature. It doesn't just mean that we shall see his face, that we shall see his person, and that we shall see his glory, but we shall have a deeper, fuller, clearer understanding of his love, his mercy, his goodness, his gentleness, his meekness, his holiness, and his perfection than ever we have had or can have here below. We shall see him as he is, not as merely his outward glory, but his inner beauty. And we shall rejoice. Have you ever had the experience of the Lord drawing near to you and revealing himself to you in a special way? And you have felt his love in a remarkable way, in a way that you do not normally feel his love. But on that occasion, perhaps it has been a time of illness. Perhaps it has been a time of trouble or trial. And the Lord has drawn near to you in such a wonderful way that you feel his love and his tenderness and his kindness and his mercy and his grace that you've never known before. I remember visiting a dear sister in Christ, loved the Lord, and sadly she died of cancer. And before she died, I went in to see her, and her husband was there, and he said, "Billy, she's put me out of the room. She's put me out of the room. She can't be bothered with me in the room." And she was very weak. She says, "Yes, because he's only disturbing the presence of the Savior." And she said, "He's so wonderful. He's so lovely. He's so near. He's so kind." My, she was enjoying the Savior's presence that she put her husband out because he was only disturbing that wonderful feeling of the Lord's nearness. She was getting a glimpse of her Savior, the like of which she had never seen before. She was seeing something of his beauty, the beauty of his nature, the beauty of his character, the beauty of his love, the beauty of his grace that she'd never seen before. And she'd seen a measure of it, but she'd seen and known it in a measure and degree she'd never known before. And so shall it be whenever we see the Lord, when we see his face, when we tell the story saved by grace, when he does lead us through the promised land. My, we shall see his glory, and we shall see his beautiful character and his wonderful nature in a way we have never seen it before. And our hearts will burn within us, and our souls will be in sweet rapture as we get a deeper, fuller vision and revelation of our Savior. It'll be a day of rejoicing because of the sweet release that we shall know. It will be a day of rejoicing because of the reunion we shall have. It'll be a day of rejoicing because of that exquisite revelation we shall receive of our Savior. But it will be a day of joy and rejoicing because of the revolutionary change that will be wrought in us. My, whenever we see Him, we shall be changed. We shall receive a body like unto His glorious body on that occasion. For the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. But we shall be changed. When we see Him, we shall be like Him. When we see Him as He is, there will be a tremendous change wrought. We will say farewell to sickness and sorrow and pain and dying and the afflictions of this old life and the limitations of this old body. We'll say farewell to the weariness. We will say farewell to that awful tiredness that some people have to live daily with. We'll say farewell to it all. And there'll be a wonderful change. Change wrought in our bodies. Change wrought in our natures. The old sinful nature, of course, as we've said, will be gone. And we shall be like Him, not only physically. We'll not only receive a body like unto His glorious body, but we shall be changed into His image. And our natures will be wonderfully changed. And, of course, our state will be wonderfully changed. We will no longer be open to the attacks of sin and Satan and the world. We shall be like Him and we shall be with Him in the glory. Is that not something to look forward to make our hearts glad? Is this not a sweet anticipation when we look forward to that final harvest when the saints are gathered home? It will be a day of rejoicing and a time of rejoicing because of the rapturous welcome we shall receive. The Lord Himself shall say to us, "Come thou blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." What a welcome we shall receive. That, "Well done thou good and faithful servant." By those words, those words will bring joy and gladness to our hearts, the like of which we have never experienced and cannot and will never experience until we hear those words from His blessed lip. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The world abuses us because we try to stand faithful to Christ. Our friends sometimes forsake us. And they say, "You're too much of it. Too much of it." But bless God, when we see Jesus as He is, when we look upon His wonderful, beautiful face, we shall hear those words, "Well done," and our hearts will rejoice. We will hear Him say, "Come. Come, thou blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." I bless God, I'm going to inherit the kingdom. I'm not just going to inhabit the kingdom. I'm going to inherit it. And I want to tell you, that's the only thing I've ever inherited, or I'm likely to inherit in my life. Yes. I have to be at home to get the glory. I said to my old aging mother, she was about 92 at the time. Well, she died when she was 92. It was just before she died. I said, I was bringing her over to my home in Banbridge. She took a day out with all the family, you see. And my day was a Thursday, and I brought her over, and I was driving along with her, and in a jocular way, I said, "Mum, tell me this. Have we any rich relatives, you know, about the Passover, you know? Not that I wish them dead, but they were going to a happier land anyway, and they didn't need their money." And I said, "Have we any of those?" She says, I'm afraid you're out of luck, son. Yes. I did inherit something. But Daddy's Bible, that was a wonderful thing. Yes. But oh, when I get home to glory, I'm going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. You know, I remember Dr. Paisley used to say, when he gets to heaven, he's not going in through the back door. He's walking in through the front gate because he has a legal right to do so. And praise God when we get home to heaven. We walk through those pearly gates to take our inheritance. We have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. And on that great harvest morn, when the dead will rise, the dead in Christ shall rise, and the Lord will bring his saints home to glory, we'll enter into our inheritance and we will rejoice in it. It will not fade away. And of course, we rejoice not only in the rapturous welcome, but in the resplendent feast we will sit down to. Yes, what a feast that's going to be. The marriage supper of the Lamb. We shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the saints of God in the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm glad I'll be there. I'm glad I'll be there. Will you be there? Will you be there? Will you? In the dawn of that great day, when the saints are gathered home, will you be amongst them? It'll be a day of rejoicing. Oh, what a feast that will be. I've sat down at many a marriage feast, and it's always lovely, and it's always nice. But oh, to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb, it'll be a time of great rejoicing. You know, there'll be plenty of time to enjoy it, not like this morning, the time's going very quickly. So I'll come to a conclusion. It'll be a time of rejoicing because of the glorious reward that we shall receive if we're faithful to him. The scripture says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. This crown of life, of course, is much more than just a crown that sits on your brow, although that would be lovely, to have a richly jeweled, bespeckled crown to sit on there, but it's much more than that. This crown of life, that crown of life speaks of all the bliss and joy and the glory of everlasting happiness with Christ forevermore, which he shall give us. He'll give us it as a reward, but it's all by grace. It's a reward by grace. Sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? But it's not. It's all by grace. He will be pleased to give to his faithful servants the crown of life. Man, that's going to be a glad day, a day of rejoicing, a harvest that'll bring great joy to the hearts of the saints. But in closing, I must say that not all harvests are joyful harvests. There's always an aspect to the harvest which is not so joyful. The Lord Jesus, of course, speaking of the harvest and the tares which the enemy has sown on the day of harvest, they will be gathered together and bound in bundles and burnt. That's the sorrow of the harvest. That's the harvest of sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth. When it comes to fruition, when it's fully ripe, bringeth forth death. In Isaiah chapter 17, verse 11, we read of such a harvest. In the day shalt thou make thy plant to grow, and in the morning shalt thou make thy seed to flourish. But the harvest shall be a heap. In the day of grief and of desperate sorrow. The harvest shall be a heap. Dusty heap, that's what all your good works will add up to. It'll be a day of grief and a day of desperate sorrow. Who is God speaking to here through his servant Isaiah? He's speaking, if you read that passage, you'll find he's speaking of those who forget God. Who forget God. Are you forgetting God this morning? God not in your life? Is Christ not in your heart? Well then, if you die, or if that day dawns, and only God knows when it'll dawn, and finds you in that unregenerate, unsaved state, you will not know anything of the joy of the harvest. For you, it will be the sorrow of the harvest. Because yours will not be a harvest of righteousness. It will be a harvest of sin. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. I pray, God, that you will know and enter into the joy of the harvest. God bless you. Thank you for being so patient.